Well, I need your prayers this evening. Lord, bless His word to us. Truly need His help. Written the word on the board, precautions. A burden the Lord's been talking to me about. Look at the word precautions. I'm not much of a student of the roots of words and the Latin and all of that, but I can tell enough to understand that pre would indicate something that's before in time, something that is before an event, something that goes ahead of time. Cautions, of course, are those carefulness that we would apply to something or a caution that we would have about a dangerous situation or something like that. Maybe you've heard in the news here in the last few days, there's been a bit of a controversy out of Washington, D.C. Don't intend to get political with it. That's not very newsworthy in and of itself, a controversy coming out of Washington, D.C., but this one had to do with the vice president. And it was about a stand that he's taken, about a conviction that he has stated that he has, and the world around him has said, how can you have that? That doesn't work in today's society. That doesn't fit. You're not able to function that way. And the controversy was this. The vice president said, as a married man, putting it in my words, I'm not comfortable having lunch or having dinner with a woman that's not my wife. Unless somebody else is present there. There was a time that would have been considered acceptable, or that would have been considered normal. That would have been considered the only proper thing to do. The only proper safeguards and propriety would be something like that. But our society's changed today. Our world's changed today, and they looked at that and said, you can't do that. You're the vice president of our country. You can't do something like that. And of course, they began to mock him and ridicule him and say, how could you even have such an archaic idea as that? How could you even, what are you going to do if you get on a subway and there's a woman? Are you going to run scared? What do you think is going to happen? Why are you scared of women and those kind of things? But you know, as I began to think about that and began to look at the statement that he had said about it because he valued his marriage, I thought, you know, I wish there was a little more of that in our country today. It seems like there's not very much left today that's sacred. There's not very much that's left today that's not for sale if the price is right. But I believe that the Lord has given something valuable to every one of us. To some of us, that's marriage, but to all of us, it's our soul. And the Lord would have us to place a great value upon our soul. I had an occasion to travel to Scotland, went through the castle there at Edinburgh, Scotland, and I had the opportunity to go in the inside part of the castle to visit the crown jewels. You know, I wasn't alone. They wouldn't leave me in the room alone with the crown jewels. It was very highly guarded and quite a process that you go through to be able to even get back into them. And of course, they had guards posted that were watching everybody that even got close. There was glass around it and lights and cameras and everything. And I'm sure alarms that if you got too close or you touched the glass, I'm sure that you'd hear about it. There were precautions that were being taken. There were precautions lest something happen because it's valuable. It's important to us. And so there are precautions that we want to take that I don't want to lose it. I don't want something to happen. And you say, oh, come on. What, do you really think somebody's gonna take it? Or maybe this individual's a good individual. Do you really think they're going... But there are some lines that you have to draw. There are some precautions that you have to take because I know the way that the enemy works. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, The 11th verse says, "We are not ignorant of Satan's devices." The enemy would like for us to be ignorant of his devices, for us to not know the way that he's working and the way that he thinks. But the Lord has given us the ability. The Lord wants to reveal unto us the way that the enemy is trying to work. The Scripture says that he is going about as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. Another place, Jesus said that he is a thief, and the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So you know, it tells me no matter how he dresses up, I can't trust him. It tells me no matter where he may try to hide and make me think there's no danger in sight, there are precautions that I need to take in my life lest the enemy be able to take advantage of me. There are things that the Lord has given us, folks, that are worth guarding with everything that we have. Remember the story of Jacob and Esau? Whenever Esau came in from the field and was hungry, and there was Jacob with a pot of beans. And it smelled good and it looked good and he was hungry and it was the very thing that he just seemed like he needed at that time. And he sold something that was worth far more than that for just a moment of satisfaction. Just a moment of having his hunger and his appetite satisfied. He was willing to give up something that would have been a great blessing to him throughout his life, and not only to him, folks, decisions that we make have a ripple effect throughout generations many times of our children and our family and those that are looking on and coming behind us by the decisions that we make. May the Lord help us to have the proper esteem on the things that he's given unto us. That I not go and just foolishly turn loose the things the Lord has given me. The Scripture says, "My soul is continually in my hand." Folks, how more valuable of a possession could we have in our care? But the enemy has a plan. The enemy has a strategy, and he wants to be able to take away from us the most valuable things that the Lord has given us. We are not ignorant of his devices. The Lord wants us to be able to understand where the enemy is trying to work. And my prayer is, Lord, expose the devil. Expose him in my life. Help me to see where the enemy's trying to work in my life. Lord, expose him among the camp of the saints. Shine the light of your word on places where the enemy's trying to lurk in darkness. Because I want to see where he's working. I don't trust the guy. I don't trust the enemy. I don't want him anywhere near my stuff. And I want to be able to see where he's working and what he's trying to do. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. The enemy has a strategy that many times is, I believe, a long-range strategy. Remember hearing a message one time by recording. It was years ago, but it was preached in one of our meetings that the minister said, "The devil has a plan for every one of you. He has a 5-year plan, he has a 10-year plan, and he has a 20-year plan for every one of us." And the horrible reality and the truth of the matter was that very minister found himself in a trap and lost his own soul. Folks, it's the seriousness of the decisions that we're making. Thought of the enemy in the past as a chess player. Some of you familiar with chess know Marty's far better at it than I am. You know, at chess, you don't get very far if you're just looking one move. If you just have a one move strategy, and I'm about a one or a two move strategy kind of guy, and that's about as far as I can reach out. And if you block that strategy, I got to go back to scratch. But you know, the enemy has a plan in the moves that he makes in our lives. You know, people that were ridiculing the vice president So what do you think's really going to happen when you're sitting there having lunch with somebody, that a business lunch? What do you really think's going to, come on now, what do you really think's going to happen? You know, the enemy has a strategy. The enemy has a plan. And I may be able to look at that and say there's nothing that's going to happen. But if I allow myself to get into a place that I'm comfortable in a situation like that, that I can be comfortable in situations that could lead to compromise down the road. The enemy didn't take Samson, the great and mighty Samson, and one mighty blow conquer Samson. But there was a process that he got him into. There was a place that he weakened his defenses. The thing that made him strong, he targeted that very thing to be able to weaken him. And if you'll remember, he got Samson to the place through Delilah, that whenever he finally confessed all and broke down and she wore him down and he finally told the secret of what his strength was, she cut his hair, and it says whenever he awoke that time and he went to try to break the bands as he had every other time, it said he wist not. He didn't even realize that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him.
Yes.
Proverbs 22 verse 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. May the Lord help us to be able to foresee the evil, to be able to see ahead of time. Whenever the enemy makes a move in my life, then I say, oh no, I know where you're going with that. I know what you're trying to do there, and I'm going to block that move. I'm not going to, because the enemy wants to set us up in a place that he weakens our defenses. If he can move a pawn over here, and I look at that and think it's only a pawn, that's harmless. There's nothing, I'm not even worried about that right now. I've got other things that I'm worried about right now. And then he takes another, and he moves in another space, and all the while he's got a plan in what he's doing. He's not just haphazardly trying to bring things about, but he has a plan that he's trying. If I can get them into this place over here, if I can weaken them a little bit in this situation, then I can introduce something else to them then. Precautions. Being able to realize and understand the way the enemy works. Being able to know that I am in danger of losing my soul. If I become complacent, if I become comfortable in places that I could look at and say, come on, there's no danger in that. There's no danger in having lunch with somebody. What's that modesty really all about? Come on. You mean to tell me somebody's going to see an arm? You mean to tell me somebody's going to see a little bit of skin and they're going to have a problem? Get over it. Come on, there's nothing. But you know, the enemy wants to be able, one move at a time, to get us into a place that I move a little bit. And then I move a little bit further. And I let down my defenses one brick at a time. And the enemy all the while with a long-term plan in mind. No, maybe there's nothing I'm going to be able to do yet. But I'm getting you into a place. I'm getting you into a weakened, compromised place so that I can move in and begin to work. The scripture here says the prudent man, the man that's able to be guided by the Lord, is able to see ahead of time and say, oh no, devil. No, I'm not going to let you go there. No, I see where you're trying to work in my life. And the Lord showed me that I need to take some precautions here. I need to draw some lines here, folks, every one of us. In the midst of a world that'll look on you and me and ridicule and say, come on. We live in 2017. You can't live that way anymore. You can't have those kind of standards in your life anymore, folks. May the Lord help us to take some precautions, to take some preventive measures that the enemy not be able to move in and take advantage of my life. But it says the simple man just passes right along. doesn't see it, doesn't realize the warnings or what the enemy is trying to do in their life. And they just keep right on going and don't take any actions like the wise man did to hide himself, to prepare himself. Folks, whenever the enemy is inside the city, it's too late to build the walls. The time to build the walls is when the enemy isn't in yet. To be able to say, if the enemy's not here, why do I need walls? If I don't see an enemy that's coming against me, why do I need to take those actions? Why do I need to go to all the work? I haven't seen the enemy yet. But there are precautions to be taken. Because I know there's an enemy out there. And I want to be able to have a strong defense. The argument has been made, and of course, again, on the political aspect of it, I'll leave that up to you and to those that make the argument. They say that the best posture to be in as a country is to have strong defenses and a strong military to prevent an enemy so that you don't invite an enemy to come in and take advantage of you. It's a deterrent against those that would be aggressive against you. Lord, help us to be the same way with the enemy. I want to have some strong defenses. I want to have some lines drawn in my life. Yes, maybe I could have lunch one time and I'd be okay. But I also realize I need to have some lines in my life. Because if I don't have any lines, then I'll say, you know what, this isn't really much different than this. So I'm okay here. Well, now that I look at it, that's not really much different than this. So I move over here, and it's a progressive thing that the enemy, little by little by little, gets us into a place that then he can come in and take advantage and rob us. We are not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 26 says, "By means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread." The simple man, and you read about it in Proverbs, the 7th chapter, the picture of a simple man that walks right into the trap of temptation whenever he should have seen the warning signs. You know what? I better not go down this street. You know what? I see something down there that's going to be a temptation to me. I better take some precautions. We need to be able to have some defenses in our life, folks. We need to be able to have a strong position that I can be in, that when the enemy comes along, I've got some walls built up as a defense against them. You know, defense isn't enough. I need to be able to have an offensive strategy as well. I need to be able to take out those places from which the enemy launches attacks against me. Those places in my life. Those things that maybe I would get a little bit too close and invite, as the simple man did. He went down the street near her corner. Why didn't you just stay away from the corner? Why didn't you just take another street to get down? You know who lives on that street. Come on. If you're honest with yourself and you really want to stay true to the Lord, put some precautions in your life. Folks, there are things, again, that are so valuable to us. Our soul. We don't want to lose our own soul. Our marriages. Folks, the world looks at it and they say it's worth nothing now. They're disposable. You can go throw it away and go get another one, and there's nothing really of value and worth to it. You know, the enemy is after our marriages. The enemy is after our families. Lord, help us to be able to know how to fight a good warfare against them. To be able to know how to build some precautions against them. Specifically to marriages here. You know how many folks I've heard of and I have known whose marriages fell on the rocks and fell apart because I got a little too comfortable chatting with somebody online. Because I found an old acquaintance from high school and I reconnect. It's just text messages. And it's just something. We're just trying to catch up in old times and see how things... You better take some precautions. We better not be ignorant of the Satan's devices. I better not be trying to just make excuses and say, oh, come on, I can handle this. What's a little text? What's a little lunch? And folks, beyond this, I want us to think about in our own life. Those places that the enemy might be trying to work a longer term plan in my life. I don't want it to get to fruition. And the enemy come in and launch an attack and I'm caught off guard by surprise. And it's too late then. When the Lord all along wanted to point and say, you need to shore up your defenses here. You're weak in this place. You better not go there. You know what? There's some safe lines that you need to draw here. Let the world laugh as they might laugh and say, I'm sorry. I'm not going to cross that line. I'm not going to cross the line because I want to be able. I'm not ignorant of the way the devil works. I don't want to just undervalue the way the enemy works or undersell his ability. Folks, he's been... I don't want to give him too much credit, but he's been so successful with very many people. And I don't want to be another one of them. And we don't have to be, by the grace of God. 2 Kings chapter 18. There's a story that I want to relate here. Won't maybe read the whole story. 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a king that said, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He loved the Lord. He went after the high places. He broke down the idols and the false gods and all that they had set up. And he began making mighty reforms in the kingdom of Judah to turn the people back to their God. Now there's something that I find interesting here in 2 Kings 18. There was a time whenever Hezekiah took a different approach in dealing with the enemy. It says that whenever the king of Assyria had come against the kingdom of Judah, began to attack, in the 13th verse, the fenced cities of Judah, he began to take them. It says, Hezekiah, the king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended, return from me. That which thou puttest on me I will bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. You realize what's happening here? Instead of coming against the enemy, remember the way the Lord promised to give them the land? The Lord didn't tell him, you're going to have to go in and try to appease the enemy because they're greater than you are. No, he said, you go in and you spare not. You go and you destroy them. But Hezekiah here drew back. Whenever the enemy came against him, the enemy was starting his campaign and had been going through the land and he came to him, he said, hold on, here, take this gift from me. I'm sorry, let's just be friends. If you'll accept this from me, will you leave me alone then? Folks, that's never the way to deal with the enemy. The enemy, the king of Assyria, took that, but you know he wasn't satisfied with that. He then began to demand more from him. That's the way the enemy always works in our life. Whenever we give a little bit of ground here, whenever we give a little bit there, folks, it's the way the enemy brings a man to a piece of bread. By getting him to give up a little bit here and a little bit there, and it says that before it was over, you can read here that Hezekiah was going to the temple of God. The gold that adorned the doors and the pillars, he was going and stripping the gold off of the doors because the enemy kept demanding more and more and more. And then he wanted people and he wanted ransom. Folks, the enemy is never satisfied. The enemy will tell, give just a little bit here. But he's not satisfied with a little bit here. Of course he's not. He wants to get us there and then take us a little bit more. He wants to get us to give up just a little bit of ground here because I think I can handle it. I think, or the enemy promises me, you'll be okay. You can handle this. you're going to be able to take care of this. You can have this in your life and it's not going to hurt you. I'm not going to attack you with that. Folks, let's not have any trust in the enemy. The enemy wants to bankrupt us.
Yes.
The enemy wants to get us to a place that I have nothing. He wants to get me to a place that I am completely empty. I'd like to look now at a couple instances of that. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. A time in the history of God's people that you didn't hear from the Lord. That you didn't hear His voice. That it says the word was precious or it was rare. The times whenever the Lord would send a message unto a priest or unto a prophet and be able to say, this is what the Lord is saying, or to reveal Himself unto someone. It was a quiet period of time. It was a time when the Lord wasn't revealing Himself unto His people. It had been a long time since they had heard from the Lord. And Samuel here, as he was all familiar with the story, as he was ministering unto Eli, lay down there one night in the temple and it said, as he was going to sleep, the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not. My son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And it happened again the third time, and as he heard, the second time I guess it was, that he went in unto Eli, and there was something then with Eli. Eli used to know the voice of the Lord. Eli knew what the sound of the Lord's voice was. And there was something, I believe, here that Eli then began to realize. The Lord's talking again. The Lord's voice has come unto us again. Did you notice it wasn't Eli that heard it? There was a time in Eli's life when he knew the voice of the Lord. But he came to a time, and read the history here of Eli, that his sons had turned from the Lord and Eli turned a blind eye to it and wouldn't deal with it. And he didn't follow the responsibility that the Lord had given him. Then the Lord, it came to a point that the Lord had departed from him and his hand was pulling off from Eli and his ministry. What an awful place to get into. He said, Samuel, it's the Lord calling. It's the Lord's voice again. I remember as Samuel, go back and listen again. And when the Lord speaks to you, say, here am I, Lord, your servant listens. You know, I can remember a time, not a time, I can remember many times feeling conviction in a service. Feeling the Lord talking to my heart. I knew I hadn't been what I needed to be. I knew that I hadn't been faithful to the Lord. I knew that I had a need in my life. You know, that to me was the most awful feeling. I didn't want it. I didn't want to feel it. I hated that feeling. I knew what it meant and I wanted to just run away from it. But you know, there's something precious about the voice of the Lord. When we talk about things that are precious and valuable to us, and things that the enemy would come and try to take away from us. The voice of the Lord. To be able to be in a place with the Lord that I can hear His voice. I'd like to look at another story also found in 1 Samuel. This to me is one of the sad stories of the Bible. 1 Samuel 28. Saul was a first king of Israel. He was appointed and chosen by the Lord. The Lord's blessing was upon him whenever he was small in his own eyes. The Lord had inspired Saul. His spirit had come upon him. He had prophesied. The Lord's blessings had been on his life for a time. But over a period of time, something began to happen. We have today the luxury, the opportunity to be able to look back at Saul's life, look at the beginning of it, and look at the end of it, and realize the way that the enemy is able to try to work. May the Lord help us to be able to see from the stories of others where the enemy has come in and taken advantage, the great importance of putting some precautions in my life. Whenever Saul was in a place that the Lord was able to bless him, he had the opportunity, as the Lord had provided under the Old Testament, the Urim and the Thummim, to be able to consult whenever they needed to direction, they needed to make a decision, or they needed to know, Lord, what do you say about this? Should I go up to battle or should I not? Lord, are you going to give me victory in this or are you not? I need to know what the Lord has to say. We talked last night about confusion, about being in a place where I don't know what to do, where I'm at a loss, I'm at my wit's end, I don't know where to turn, I don't know what to do. Saul found himself in a place like that because over time, the decisions that Saul made in his life brought him down to a place where he could no longer hear the voice of the Lord. Verse 5, when Saul inquired of the Lord, and when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. There's a difference when the Lord's not with us. There's a difference whenever we don't have that clear assurance in our heart. You notice the difference between David, whenever he went up against a giant, and he went with boldness and confidence and courage because he knew the Lord was with him. Because he had been seeing the Lord work in his life. The Lord had given the lion and he had given the bear into his hands. And Lord, I know you're with me and you're burning something within my heart here that we can't stand by and let the enemy overrun us here. And you've witnessed and I feel your presence and I'm able because of that. It gives me a boldness that is not mine to be able to stand up in the face of the enemy and be able to face him and win a victory against him. But whenever the presence of the Lord lifts, Samson was helpless and Saul was stricken with fear. And it says he began to inquire of the Lord. Lord, you've helped me before. Lord, I need you now. I'm in trouble now, Lord. Where are you now? And he began to inquire of the Lord. It says the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets. Folks, let's get a picture for a little bit of what a desperate place this is to be in. Whenever I'm in a place in my life that I need answers, Lord, I need help now, I'm in trouble now. Lord, I know that I've brushed you off for a while. Lord, I know that I haven't been in the place that I need to be, but I need help now, Lord. The enemy's coming against me and I'm scared now, Lord. I'm not ready for this now. Oh, if you would have taken precautions. Saul, you didn't have to be in this place. The Lord could have still been with you to fight this battle too. But now you're getting to a place that you're realizing, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for this. I'm not prepared for this. Oh, the terror that I'm sure he felt. Lord, where are you? I'm calling, Lord, don't you hear me? I'll try this, Lord. I'll pray to you. I'll go back to the Urim that you, the prophets, can't you tell me anything? Has the Lord given you anything for me? Folks, we can only live under the shadow of holy men and women for so long. We can only, oh, there have been those that have gone on before us and that are in our midst, that we have confidence in their prayers. And whenever I get in trouble, I can make a phone call and say, pray for me. I need help. Whenever I don't know what to do, I can call and say, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do here. What should I do? But folks, there comes a point that I need to be able to get a hold of the Lord. I need to be able to hear the voice of the Lord for myself. There are going to be times, and there was a time in Saul's life. Saul came down to a point and the Lord had withdrawn himself. No matter how he called, no matter how, oh, folks sometimes handle their souls so carelessly. They handle it as if they can lay it down and pick it up at any time. Lord, I can toss you away for now, and whenever I come back and I call on you, Lord, you'll be right there. I know you will, because you always have been. And there's a song we sing, number 482. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost. And you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Folks, there are lines that we can cross. There are lines when I have handled my soul so carelessly that I call on the Lord. There's no answer. There can be times in my life that if I'm not careful and I disregard the precautions and I allow the enemy to work in my life, that I can come down maybe to the end of my life and say, Lord, I need you. I'm ready for you now, Lord. I'm ready to talk to you. But the desire's not there. The conviction's not there anymore. Oh, I've heard stories of those that have said, Lord, if you just deal with me one more time. Lord, now I realize the value of conviction. I realize the value now of being able to hear your voice. Lord, I'll never turn from it again. I'll never disregard it again. Folks, how valuable is it to us? How valuable is our soul to us? How valuable is it to me to be able to be in a place with the Lord that I can go to Him and I can have my prayers answered, that I can go to Him and I can feel that clearness in my soul? Is it valuable? Is it worth putting some precautions in place? Lord, I don't want to be a Saul. And I don't have to be. The Scripture says which things, Romans 15:4, which things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I can look at Saul's life and say, Lord, by Your grace, not me. By Your grace, I don't want to get to that place, Lord. It may cost me some things. It may cost me some lines that I have to draw. My Lord, I'm gonna build some walls here. I'm gonna build some bulwarks here so the enemy's not able to get in and rob me blind and bring me to a piece of bread. Saul came to the place here that he was in such distress. He had tried everything that he knew. Finally he said, go get the witch. I can't get an answer. We'll turn to the things of the devil now. We'll turn to the things that the enemy has. I'm desperate now. I need something now. Oh, if I could just hear from Samuel one more time. I remember the times that Samuel was a man of God. If only I could see him again. He still has a connection with God. And maybe I can... But he's not here. So he went and was summoned up. And we know the story of the end of Saul. What a sad end. To a man that was chosen of God. To a man that once knew the blessing of God. To Eli that once knew what the Lord's voice was, but came to a point that he didn't hear it anymore. May the Lord help us that we would take some precautions in our life. Another song we sing, it says, number 394. Thy conscience once so keen to feel, that voice sent to reprove, no more is stirred at God's appeal to seek His pardoning love. Hearken to the Spirit's voice, calling still, calling still. While He's pleading, make thy choice, ere He's gone, ere He's gone. Folks, I'm thankful for a God of mercy. I'm thankful that if we come to a place in our life that I realize, Lord, I'm bankrupt. I don't have anything. I've been sifted. Jesus told Peter that the enemy is desired, Satan's desired to sift you as wheat. Take away everything of value. To rob you, to cause it to just sift out of your life so you're left with nothing but worthlessness. That I can, the best that I can do is say, Lord, I remember. I remember what Your voice sounded like. I remember the sweetness. I remember those times where I just felt such a clearness, such a sincerity in my heart, in my life. I'm thankful the Lord can take us from rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong. Well, folks, if we're not there, but we realize the enemy's been trying to get an inroad. The enemy's been trying to get his foot in the door in our lives. Let's take some precautions. Let's be willing to realize the value of what the Lord has given me. Folks, this is what, these stories that we looked at is what I would consider a nightmare. Those times that you wake up from a nightmare, oh, thank God that's not real. Thank God that didn't really happen. Saul didn't wake up from that. That was real. Folks, we have opportunity to be able to say, Lord, You haven't left me, but You're not as close as You once were. Lord, I don't hear Your voice that pricked me as clearly as it used to. Lord, I want to clear some things up. I want to be able to take some precautions so that I never realize that nightmare in my life, so that I never come to that place that I'm destitute, that I'm poor, that I've lost my soul, that I've lost my marriage, my home, because I didn't take some precautions, because I didn't place the proper value in my life, the right priorities of the things that's most important to me, and the enemy robbed us. May God bless. Amen.